There are approximately 6,000 homeless men, women, and children in the Philadelphia area. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission strives to feed, clothe, and shelter every member of the homeless community that steps through our doors. At Sunday Breakfast, we serve 3 healthy meals a day on every day of the year. An average of 600 meals are served daily. With your help, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission will continue to ensure that no one goes hungry in Philadelphia. You can help by hosting a food drive, donating, or volunteering today. It only costs $1.95 to feed one person. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission feed the homeless today. To make your gift or learn more, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word THANKS to 41444. That's text THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. Provide a meal. Give hope. Change a life.
Homeworks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
You're the God of this.
Hope Rescue Mission is a sponsor of Your Family Matters. For 121 years, Hope Rescue Mission, located at 645 North 6th Street in Reading, has provided a daily safe haven while ministering to the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the homeless in Berks County. We share the hope that can only be found in Christ, transforming the lives of those in need. Our programs feed, house, clothe, and guide men so that they experience a better quality of life. Over 10,000 square feet of thrift stores are located directly behind the mission, which is open on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 8 to 4. We invite you to stop by and shop our large selection of gently used furniture, clothing, and homeless items as you support Hope. We're pleased to accept your donations of any of these items. Contact us at 610-375-4224 to arrange for a pickup at your home or business. Since the costs needed to operate and care for these men continues to grow, your support and continuing partnerships are so greatly appreciated. We receive no outside or government funding as we strive with the Lord's guidance and direction to restore those who seek our help to lead upright and productive lives. Please keep Hope Rescue Mission in your thoughts and prayers as we serve those in need. Again, thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters.
When you're in the Lehigh Valley, you're welcome to worship with us at Calvary Baptist Church, 5300 Green Pond Road in Easton, Pennsylvania. Our worship services are each Sunday at 8:45 and 10:20. We seek to be a church that practices the ABCs of the Christian faith. A, we try to appeal to all ages of people. B, be Bible-based in our preaching and teaching ministry. And C, be Christ-centered in all our ministries. God bless you and have a great day.
That was Pastor Larry Bird. Check out his website at calvarybaptistpa.org.
This is Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi.
Good morning. This is Carla DeDessi with Your Family Matters on 1180 WFYL right here in the Philadelphia area. Thank you so much for joining us again this Friday morning and every Friday morning here from 8 until 9 a.m. Keep listening because after me, Laura Ingram will be following. And remember that you can always go to 1180WFYL.com for all of my podcasts. Did you go to Amazon and purchase Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely Yet, Marry Wisely, and my third book that is recently out, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely? I want to focus on Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely this morning because Election Day is November 3rd, only 6 weeks away. This is what school teacher Lisa McIntyre at Cedar Grove has to say about my book. This is what she says about her classroom. She says that she will be using Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely in her second grade class this year for their government studies. Thank you so much, Lisa, for using Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely at your school this year as part of the curriculum. What a great idea. And that is the whole purpose in my writing my books. I'm writing them for my little girls, but I'm also writing them for your schools and for all of the children so that we have great, wise voters, a future generation of great, wise voters by the time that they are 18 years old. So check out my Julia Learns series on Amazon today. Remember, there are also coloring books that you can couple with my books. And also my third book, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely, is going to be on Amazon any day now and is being translated into Spanish for our Spanish friends. And it is still on sale this week, so check it out. If you want to follow my children's book series, go to www.carladedessi.com. Carladedessi.com. That is my name. And always like and follow my book series on Facebook at Julia Learns. Did you put on your full armor of God this morning? Did you put the full armor of God on your family? This is what we talked about last week. If you missed my series on putting on the full armor of God, please go to my podcast and listen to it. You don't want to miss it. I hope that every morning this week you prayed Ephesians 6:10 through 18 over your family and your children. These are our instructions for Christians to prepare for battle so that we're not surprised when our enemies attack. Go on, share the podcast with your friends as well. I hope that you are really excited to recite and memorize Ephesians 6:10 through 18 with your family, with your children, and with your grandchildren. I totally believe that the return on your investment of reading that and reciting that Bible verse, that passage with your children every morning for 2 minutes, a 2-minute investment every morning, is going to be priceless, mom and dads. Don't forget that. So this week I've been studying a lot about prayer. I truly believe that prayer is vital to every person that calls themselves a Christian. This is how we connect with God, the creator of the universe. It is more vital and important even today because our children, we're putting them on school buses, we're sending them out to school, we're sending them out into the world. Some of you have sent your children off to college this year, graduate school, med school, law school. Are you covering your children in prayer? And are you teaching your children how to pray for themselves? So let's take a few moments this Friday morning and talk about the power and the purpose of prayer. Our bodies are temples for the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Therefore, our bodies should be houses of prayer. Did you ever look at it like that? I know that many of us have sat in churches and we understand that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we do certain things. We don't want to mishandle or misuse our bodies because we have God living inside of us, for those of you who are Christians. But did you know that your body as a Christian should be a house of prayer? Anything that distracts us from prayer in our lives is a dangerous thief. It will steal from us the blessings that our Heavenly Father wishes to bestow on us. We need to learn the art of prayer so that we may be linked to the Almighty God in a miraculous way. If God does hear and answer prayer, then the one thing above all else that I, Carla Dedessi, should be striving to do and to learn is to pray, and to pray well. So where do we go as Christians to identify what prayer looks like? Of course, we go to our Bibles. And we have a great model for prayer that Jesus Christ himself gave to us. And he instructed us to pray in Matthew. And we all know it as the Lord's Prayer. And we have all heard it so many times at church. We've heard it at Christian and Catholic schools. Sometimes we recite it every Sunday before church. But today we are really going to dissect it and learn. I've been studying it all week, and I've been talking to people that I consider to be most wise and really researching what Jesus, who was our greatest teacher in all things, how he instructed us, his followers, to pray. So I'm going to begin by reading in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. And this is what Jesus says. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, and they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have your door shut, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we dissect this together. Dear Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to be able to come before your throne, your kingdom, and to be able to call you Father. You know all things, you see all things. And this morning, you even see our little tiny radio station here in Pennsylvania. It is my deepest prayer that you would be speaking through me, that everything that I might have learned this week about the purpose of prayer and the power of prayer, you might speak through me to our listeners. And then there might be even one person that will be transformed by the power of prayer this morning, and that they will be encouraged, and that they will be edified. And ultimately, Heavenly Father, we pray that every life here on this earth will turn to Jesus Christ and turn to the Bible and see you as their Savior, and that they would accept you, and that they would change their lives so that they can live in eternity forever with you. So we pray, Heavenly Father, today that the words that I might say would only encourage people to read their Bibles, to get their hands on a Bible and begin reading and searching this miraculous gift that you have given to us as your children, to be able to pray to you and bring all of our blessings, our burdens, our praises to you. We thank you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Okay, so let's go back to Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. I'm not going to talk about verses 5, 6, and 7. I do want to touch on verse 8 for a moment, where this is so encouraging to me personally, but also to all Christians, where Jesus Christ says that your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask. Because I don't know about you, but me personally, there are many times that I look at a situation and I don't know how to pray for it. It's such a mess. that I don't even know where to begin. But God knows what we need or what our friends need or what our family needs even before we ask of it. Because remember, God has no timeline. He already sees the end result. It is you and I that need to bring our prayers to God because we do not have that time seer machine where we are able to see into the future. Or that we can even remember it and have an enlightenment about things of the past. So that's such an encouragement to me that when we do not know how to pray, or sometimes I feel like I've been praying for something for 5 years and I'm just seeing the situation get worse instead of better. And I just kind of say, God, I don't even know how to pray about this situation more. It's such an encouragement to me that He knows. He knows even before we ask Him, He knows our needs. Let's move on to verse 9. Where Jesus Christ says to us in this manner, this is how we should be praying. Our Father, let's just begin there. So moms and dads, grandparents, when you are talking to your children and you're teaching them this model of prayer, let's talk about our Father. This is the preface of our divine prayer. Our Father who is in heaven. This is laying our foundation for prayer. We must first understand and know God. Is He your Father? I ask you that question today. If He is not your Father, I ask you to make Him your Father. Invite Him to be the center of your world. So He has to be our Father first before we're even able to come to Him with thanksgiving and asks. Okay? He is my Heavenly Father because I proclaim Christ. I am a Christian. This gives us as Christians confidence that God is our Father and He hears us. If He is our Father, then He loves us so very much and He deeply wishes for us to communicate with Him. Just like our earthly father wants communication with us, our earthly mother wants communication with us, we must have it to have a good relationship. Our Father in heaven also wants to communicate with you. Here's the first and great reason for prayer. If God is our Father, He is waiting and wanting to bless us. So boldly ask in prayer to be blessed. Did you know that you can ask to be blessed? Ask Him for His blessings. There's Bible verses that are also throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And one that's coming to my mind is where Jesus Christ says, if your earthly father cares for you, how much more will your heavenly father care for you? And this is interesting because some of you may have fathers that don't really care very much for you and you have a broken relationship. Maybe you never even knew your father. I want to encourage you to get to know your heavenly father, God who created you. And you may be denying His existence, but He refuses to deny your existence. He wants to know you intimately. And I encourage those of you who do not have an earthly father or an earthly mother to search the Bible and the scriptures and discover who your heavenly father is, and He can be your whole entire family. Do you need a new identity? Why not be adopted into God's family so that you can pray this prayer and teach it to your children? This is a personal prayer by the use of the personal pronoun our Father is put in front. And I'm interested, and I studied this a little bit, why not my Father who art in heaven? But Jesus Christ is teaching us that it's our Father. And even when I pray that and after I studied this passage, I pray it differently now. I'm reminded that He is personally my Father, but He is our Father. I am connected to the body of Christ by using that plural pronoun. It's almost a corporate prayer. Don't forget, Christians, you are not alone. There are churches nationally and internationally and all across here, the great state of Pennsylvania, that we are praying together. Or is it being used to remind us that we are not alone in praying? That we are tapping into the body of Christ. So again, families, moms, dads, grandparents, When you are praying, "Our Father who art in heaven," remind your children, He is our Father. We can come to Him as a corporate body, as a family, just living in our house. But at churches, we are tapping into the body of Christ who art in heaven. I'm not really sure where heaven is. I really pondered this and I searched the scriptures and it really doesn't tell us where heaven is. As a child in Sunday school, I was always taught that, you know, it's up in the sky somewhere. It's in the heavens. I always imagined that it was in fluffy clouds up above. But truthfully, the Bible does not tell us where heaven is. Honestly, I think that maybe it's kind of in an out-of-world experience. Like, we cannot get there on an airplane. We cannot even imagine where it is. But when I do think of heaven, humanly speaking, it reminds me that God is sitting somewhere that is very high. He is lifted up. He is watching. He sees our earth, the stars, the solar system, the galaxies. He knows all things. So it's a reminder to me when I'm praying, "Our Father who art in heaven," that He, although He sees everything on earth, He sits somewhere that is majestic in a kingdom. It's high and lifted up. Let's move on to "Hallowed be thy name." What does "hallowed" mean? I had to look this up in Webster's dictionary, and this is how Daniel Webster defines "hallowed." He says that it is to be set apart, it is holy, it is to be glorified. So plug that back in with "hallowed be thy name." Hallowed, God's name is to be set apart, it is holy, it is glorified. There is no other name like our God's. He is omnipresent, omnipotent. He is wisdom. Are you searching for wisdom? Go to your Bible. He is eternal. He is love. He is pure. So the next time you said, "Hallowed be thy name," think of all of those adjectives. When Christ is teaching us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name," we pray that God's name will be honored by all in heaven and earth. That is what we want, Christians and family, people listening. We want our children to honor God's name and to learn that everyone is welcome to honor our God's name in this way. Then we continue to pray, "Thy kingdom come." So I thought about a kingdom and I researched, what does this mean? What does it entail? One who has a kingdom is a king. So this God is not only my Father, but He is a king. On a personal level, this is teaching me, which I need to teach my little girls and you need to teach your children and grandchildren, that they are royalty. I am royalty. You are royalty if God the Father is your king. Let them find their identity in becoming a child of God. All of our children are looking for an identity. Many of them are finding it in the wrong places. Some of them are even looking to change their gender because this is going to be a new identity for them. They are going to be disappointed. We're all going to be disappointed when we are seeking identities, a new identity outside of the Bible. I urge you to encourage your children personally to find their identity in becoming a child of God. This will give them royalty status. We are princesses and princes. How do we allow His kingdom to come? This kingdom will personally come to you and to me only when you accept the gospel of peace, the saving grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is freely given, listeners. So teach that to your husbands, wives, grandparents, parents. Teach it to your children. We pray personally that His kingdom of grace will come to us personally, also to our family, and also to our friends. But when we also pray, "Thy kingdom come," remember that "thy" means your kingdom. So when you hear me saying "thy," it means your kingdom. Your, just replace it. We're using Old English here. Secondly, so we talked about how personally we want God's kingdom to come into our lives personally. But then number two, we pray that all earthly kingdoms here on this earth will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they will set up earthly kingdoms that are following His plan for peace. And their kingdoms will be filled with righteousness and truth and blessings and honor when we set up our earthly kingdoms to follow Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we pray for an everlasting kingdom to come. We pray, and this is our
final renovation. This is our final healing of all people and all of God's creation here on this earth and in the heavens. God promises that he is going to put an end to all of our misery and destruction. This godly kingdom that he is going to establish is going to endure for all time. It will be everlasting and eternal. So next time you pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." I'll tell you, friends, studying this opened my eyes to a whole new level when I pray this prayer and when I'm teaching this and when I'm praying this with my children. Remember that thy kingdom comes means we are asking for it to personally come in our own lives, in our own families and friends' lives. We're praying that thy kingdom comes personally on our earthly, in our governments. And then thirdly, we are praying that God's kingdom will come. His final kingdom will come, which is going to be established forever and ever here. An everlasting kingdom. Let's continue to move forward. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I double starred this verse in my Bible. It's verse 10. We want God's will here on earth, okay? Not Carla Dedessi's will, not my husband's will, not my children's will. We want God's will. So I have to change my perspective when I'm praying a lot. You, all of us, tap into God's perspective. Vital that we are being taught by Jesus Christ to pray that God's will be done, not my will here on this earth, just as it is being done in heaven. Do you understand that the angels, in heaven are willed to obey God? They don't have a choice. Everything in heaven is perfect. There is no free will. They are just following God. But here on earth, we have this miracle of being able to choose. Some people may call it free will. So when we are praying this prayer, we need to ask God to align our will with his will for our lives. And suddenly, you and I will discover that our superficial prayers for this or that will become way deeper if we are truly seeking God's will. And we must teach our children to also pray this way and not to pray selfishly for our own will. Even Christ's prayer before his crucifixion, he prayed, "Take this cup from me, Lord. I don't want this. I don't want to be crucified. This is a terrible thing." But then he followed it up with, "But yet I want your will and not my will." This reminds me personally of a time in my life when I was told with my firstborn, Victoria, that I was going to be having a child that had Down syndrome. I had had a false positive on a test, and my parents and Lenny and I were praying for God's will, and I was praying for healing inside of the womb, and it was a tough time. It was my first pregnancy, and before that, I had had a miscarriage. But how interesting it is that I remember I had to have an emergency C-section with her. And I do recall that the night before I was going in for my C-section, I prayed, you know, "Lord, this is what I want, but it's not about my will, it's about your will." And the next day I went in for my C-section. And as they handed Victoria to me, and I still do get verklempt even talking about it, they said, my first words were, you know, "Does she have Down syndrome?" Because I was just so prepared for that and ready for that and actually excited about if this was what God was going to give to me. And they said, no, she's perfect. She's totally healthy. And of course, if God had chosen to give me a child that had Down syndrome, that child would be perfect as well to me and to my God. But it was just interesting that God had truly changed my will, that I wanted what I thought was perfect. He had so changed it that, you know, I burst into tears because I felt so undeserving of this child because I was actually so ready. My will was aligned to his will. I was just ready to take whatever child he wanted to give me. I was just felt very blessed that I could even be pregnant and that I was even having a child. So when we truly understand that God's will is best for us, no matter what it is, that he's going to use it to his glory and to his best and to his honor, and that it is so much better than anything that I could ever plan for myself, then whatever he gives to us, we are going to praise him and we're going to thank him for that. So Yes, before I went in to have my firstborn, I remember praying, Lord, not your will, not my will, but your will. Whatever child you give to me is going to be perfect, and I'm going to be so thankful for that. But that needs to be something that we make a habit of. It's not normal to pray for God's will. It's not normal for me. Many times I want to pray for my will because I see situations from a human perspective. And then in verse 11, which I also starred three times in my Bible, God is saying to us, give us this day our daily bread. We are told here to ask. Christ is telling us, ask. Ask for your daily bread. Ask for your daily needs. But do you see what Christ is teaching us, that we should also be teaching our children, that we are to be asking for our daily needs today, not what I need tomorrow or next month or a year from now. I am supposed to be asking for my needs today. We are to be asking for our daily bread. And this reminds me of the story of the Israelites who were wandering in the desert. Do you remember that story in Exodus where they were wandering in the desert and they were complaining that they wanted different food to eat or that they didn't have food to eat, excuse me. And so God provided for them and he gave them something called manna. And he provided manna every day for them. But he said to them, you are not to collect more than your daily need of the manna. And some people did not obey God, which all of us disobey God. But this is what happened in their disobedience. If they collected manna for 2 or 3 or 4 days and it wasn't eaten on that first day, then the next day there would be maggots in it and it was nasty and disgusting. It is very serious. Greed is a serious heart issue. And Christ is teaching us that we are to ask for our daily needs. He's commanding us to just ask for today. And I believe there's so many reasons for this, but one of the most important one is because it places our trust in God for our daily provisions. And it doesn't place the trust on me or my own works or for what I am able to store up. I have to ask God for our daily needs. And maybe that's, some of you might be sick or ill, so you really need to depend on him every day for your strength. I think that this, asking God for our daily needs is something that people in third world countries really understand a lot better than those of us who live here in the United States. In third world countries, they really need to depend on God, a higher power, their creator, to provide bread and clean water for them every day or health care. Here in the United States, we have so much in plenty that it's really hard. So I ask you to really remember today to ask God just for what you need to get you through today in your work day. Is somebody annoying you at work? Just get through today with that person. You don't need to get through this whole week. Just ask God to give you what is needed for today. Remember, nothing is too big or too small for God. He wants us to come to him with all of our needs. Make it a habit. Let's move on to verse 12, where Jesus Christ says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I also want to talk about Psalm 66:18, which says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayers. James 4:8 also says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Powerful prayer, when I was studying this week, powerful prayer must come from a clean heart, families. It has to come from a clean heart. We must ask God to forgive us of our daily debts, just as we also must forgive others. Daily, we are told to ask for bread, and we are also daily asked for forgiveness. We have to come and ask for that. Many of our prayers are not answered, I believe, because we are not including confession and repentance in our daily prayers. Many of us, I am including myself in this, many of us would like to hold on to our sin rather than go before God and say, I have sinned, I have done wrong. When we do this, it allows us to enjoy the freedom of a fabulous prayer life. But so many times we want to hold on to that, and we don't want to ask forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. And then we are sacrificing a fabulous freedom in prayer that we could have. So I ask myself and I ask all of you today, what is it that we are holding back? Confess it before our Heavenly Father today. Ask Him for His forgiveness. We don't need to go anywhere else to ask for forgiveness. We need to go to God. He's waiting for us to ask Him for forgiveness. And He will forgive you and me of our debts and our sins. So confess them to Him so that you can ask Him for His blessings without the burden of sin. And remember the second part there that says, as we forgive our debtors, as Christians, we have been forgiven of so very much that when we truly understand that grace that we have been forgiven of so very, very much, it should make it easier for us to forgive others. And indeed, we are commanded to forgive our debtors. And forgiveness is a whole other Friday morning. What does that look like? But we are indeed commanded to forgive others. So teach that to your kids. 13, verse 13 says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This phrase, deliver us from evil, think about it. This is a reminder that we need a Savior. I cannot deliver myself. Listen. I'm just telling you that right now. You do not want to look to me to deliver you from evil. And I am not going to look to you or my pastor or my priest or even reciting a Bible verse or some kind of prayer a million times. I am not looking to that to deliver me from evil. I am looking to God to deliver me from evil. Listen, friends, we need God's help to escape temptation. Temptation. Think about it. Who is tempting us every minute of every day? We talked about this last week and putting on the whole armor of God. The devil is our enemy. We need God's help to escape the devil and all of his temptations. Satan already wishes to destroy our lives. I'm telling you that right now. Listen to me. We all know that. Go and read your Bibles. Satan is roaring around. He wants to destroy you. He wants to harm you and your children. He wants your children. He wants your grandchildren. He does not want multiple generations, a legacy of Jesus Christ. Do not let him snatch your children and grandchildren from God, from God's path. Pray that God will provide a hedge of protection around you and your children and your grandchildren every day. Teach this prayer to your kids. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are asking God, deliver us from evil. We don't want it. We want to flee it. We want to run away from it. Put on your running shoes. It doesn't say walk away from evil. It says flee evil. Run fast. And keep going. Don't look back. That reminds me of when Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his wife were fleeing and running, and she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. I went down a little tiny avenue there. We're going to come back now to Matthew 6, verse 13, which says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Satan, this is an interesting thought too. Satan knows that God absolutely adores you. Remember, we just talked about God as our Heavenly Father. He adores me. He adores you. We are His priceless possessions. Satan cannot go up against God. He cannot directly attack God. God is way too powerful. That's what the Bible teaches us, okay? But how can he attack God indirectly? He can attack God indirectly by going after you and me. And believe me, Satan is using all of the powers of hell to attack you and me. Be aware of that. So I'm asking you to daily pray for protection and deliverance from evil. This is the best preventative medicine for our families, is to pray against temptation, to pray against evil. And remember, what did Jesus Christ do? What did he do when the devil was attacking him and when the devil was tempting him? Do you remember what he did? He used God's word. He knew God's word and he used it. He used God to counteract every one of Satan's attacks. And that is why Jesus Christ was victorious in defeating Satan on that mountain after he fasted for 40 days. Let's look at our final verse here, which is verse 13. For yours is the kingdom and the power forever and ever. Amen. So we are asking and we are petitioning God in our prayers. Isn't it interesting that we're beginning with asking our Father who adores us? We've learned that he's a king. We're asking him, we're petitioning him. And then the final verse 13, for yours is the kingdom and the power forever and ever. We are giving him praise. We are giving him adoration. We are praising him. How appropriate this is. We ask God in faith. And then at the end of the prayer, before we're even sure what has really happened, we are confident that we can praise God. We're acting in faith that he is going to follow through on our asks, on our protections. He's going to provide for us for today, not for tomorrow or next year. He's going to provide today. And we are able to come before him and praise him and say, thank you. Thank you, God, for providing for me today. Even though today's not finished, we confidently know he's going to provide. So we praise him daily because we have faith that he is going to do all that we ask because he loves you, he loves me, he loves our children, he adores your family and my family. So interesting that the Lord's Prayer begins with our Father and it ends with yours is the kingdom. Our Father is a king. Reflect on that fact. We have a Father who hears us. We have a king who answers. We have a sympathetic father, and we have a sovereign king who listens and is able to answer all of our prayers. So again, in closing, we are studying the model prayer which Christ taught us to speak, and I want you to teach it to your families this week. Here's some objectives for your families this week. I am challenging you to pray the Lord's Prayer before breakfast or lunch or dinner every day this week, because I promise you that by the end of this week, your family is going to have it memorized. That is how my three little girls learned the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We did that for a week or two. They had it down. And now on occasion, here and there, once a week, I'll say, okay, girls, before we thank God for our dinner tonight, let's just go into our Lord's Prayer, because I don't want them to forget that. Number two, here's another objective for you. Model prayer to your children and grandchildren or your nieces and nephew. Let them hear you praying out loud, and not just before meals. When I'm in the car and I'm driving, if I pass an accident, I say to the girls, let's pray for those people in that car accident. Let's pray that they get great doctors, that they get great people on the ambulances. And ultimately, let's pray that if they're not Christians, that they turn to Jesus Christ and begin reading their Bibles. I pray every time I pass my children's school. You know that I still am homeschooling one, but my other two little girls are in school. And every time we go past their school, automatically, I just point in that direction. I just offer up a prayer of safety and revival in my children's school. So how are your children seeing that you don't just pray before mealtime, but you pray all day long? We are told to pray fervently in the scriptures. So how are you showing your kids that you pray all day long? Thirdly, encourage your children to pray. I love hearing my little girls pray, whether they're praying right before bedtime or were praying as a family, or most recently, I had the privilege of organizing a pro-life prayer meeting at our church, and it was such a joy for me to listen as people were just praying as they felt led, that each of my little girls prayed as they felt led with all of these strangers who were in a room, and they prayed for little babies that are unborn and still growing and maturing in their mommy's tummies. So teach your children to pray boldly, individually, as part of a family, and corporate prayer in front of people. Remember, we are raising up future leaders of our families, our country. Fourthly, ask your children before you put them on the school bus or before you put them in bed, how can I pray for you? Is there anything that's troubling you? Is there anything that we need to thank Jesus about today? How can I pray for you? Let them know. Or then you go back and you say, hey, I was praying for you on your test. How did you think you did? Follow up. That tells them that prayer is meaningful and purposeful and powerful in your life. Your children are watching you, mom and dad, grandmom and grandpop. And then there's even more concrete ways that we can show our children that prayer is important to us. Recently, I went to Hobby Lobby and they had this chalkboard and it said prayer requests on it. It's super cute. And I gave that to my youngest, Julia, as one of her birthday gifts this year. And she loves it. She keeps it in her room and she writes down her prayer requests on that chalkboard. Are you writing down your prayer requests somewhere in a journal? That's my sixth objective for you families. My sixth objective is to start a prayer journal if you have not already started one. Listen, some of us are writing in our prayer journals daily. Others of us have a monthly written sheet that we just pray over the same things every day or throughout the day. But we should, as Christians, have a prayer journal. Encourage your children to have a prayer journal where they are writing their needs, where they are writing those people that need to be forgiven or what they need to be forgiven of, or where they are praising God for things that he's doing in your child's life. Interesting, The War Room is out right now. It's a movie. It is made by those producers of Courageous and Fireproof. I have not seen The War Room yet, but I know that it has been in the number one spot. I did watch the clip was sent here to the station, and so I had the privilege of watching the clip from The War Room. And evidently, it is about a woman who has a closet in her house that she calls the War Room. And what she does in there is she prays without ceasing. Throughout the day, throughout years, those days turn into weeks, turn into months, turn into years. And in this war room, she has tons of stickies all over it from answered prayers from 10, 15, 20 years. How amazing! What a picture of faith, of powerful prayer, purposeful prayer. I have not seen the movie, but I believe it's being used in our country to raise up prayer warriors. So again, I encourage you as Christians, yes, to go and see The War Room, but I want to get all of us to look to the Bible. Do you want to know the best information about prayer? Seek it in the Bible. It's great to read books about prayer. It's great to go and see movies about prayer. But I am asking and urging that all of us return to the Bible, the first source for all things. Go to God's Word and see how He wishes for us to pray. So thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for allowing me to breathe truth into you this morning, which I found in God's Word, Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. I encourage you to get your Bible today and go through and read Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13, and see how the Lord is speaking to you. What is He telling you that you need to concentrate on in your prayer life today? Please check out and share all of my podcasts, which can be found at 1180wfyl.com. Just click on Your Family Matters with Carla Dedessi. I encourage you to go on and listen to Preparing for Battle, where we talked about Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18 last week. And then I encourage you to share all of these podcasts with friends. Today's podcast will be up by the end of the day. Also want to share with you to go to 40daysofprayer.com. I have to give a shout out to the people who are in my backyard, the city of Reading. Starting this Monday, September 21st, we are connecting with the 40 Days of Prayer, and we are going to be outside for 40 whole days starting this Monday, September 21st, around the clock, 24 hours a day. We are going to be standing outside of Planned Parenthood in Reading, and we're going to be very sweetly, lovingly, kindly praying. We're going to be praying for the doctors, the nurses, the secretaries inside of that Planned Parenthood, that they will stop aborting our babies and lives. We're going to be praying for those little girls that are walking up those steps into that Planned Parenthood, that they will choose life for their babies and that they will not walk up those steps, that they might go right around the corner to Mercy Crisis Pregnancy Center, where they have a ton of support from many people and many churches when they choose life for their babies. So I hope that you will join us. Go to 40daysofprayer.com to connect with the group from Reading that is going to be standing outside of our Planned Parenthood for 40 days starting this Monday. Thank you again for joining me, Carla Dedessi. This is Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. I leave you with this song today about prayer. Listen to the words of this prayer and may they be an encouragement to you. Because what we touched on a little bit today, but we really didn't delve into, is that I don't want to give you the wrong impression that when we pray for things and blessings always mean that things are going to be super happy and healthy. There are people that are imprisoned for Jesus Christ. Humanly speaking, that doesn't look like a blessing. That doesn't look like God is hearing our prayers. But this song, listen to the words. They say, what if the raindrops that fall down on us are really blessings that God gives to us? So I hope that it will be uplifting to your spirit as it was to mine.
For blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life, your mercy's in disguise?
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.